Are they gonna bail you out or just run you around? They said you should have a house the American way.
Well, hi, folks. This is Jack Spirko with the Survival Podcast. Welcome to an episode of Friday Flashbacks. After 15 years and hundreds of interview shows, we decided to run them as flashbacks every Friday, beginning with the oldest of them and going forward. There's a tremendous library of wisdom in all the great interviews we've done over the years, so sit back and enjoy. Whether this is your first time or even your second time around with today's episode, I'm sure you will enjoy it and learn a lot from it. And remember, you can help support the Survival Podcast and the work we do just by becoming a member of the Survival Podcast Members Support Brigade. If you do that, you'll get access to over 70 awesome discount codes on products and services you likely already use. Things like seeds, cannabis products, food storage items, custom roasted coffee, and even cool stuff like ammo and moonshine stills and more. So support the show, get all your money back and more. Just go to thesurvivalpodcast.com and click on members to learn more and sign up. Now let's get into today's Friday Flashback. And today we are flashing back to January the 11th, 2012. This was originally episode 818, Greg Gals from Revolution Rock and Roll. If that sounds familiar, it's because you hear his song almost every single day that you listen to this show, because Greg is the one who wrote The Revolution Is You. And we did co-write it, I guess, to a little bit of a degree, but Greg was the primary writer and the guy that performed that that song all the way back, well before even this episode we did this. We then later collaborated on another song that we wrote together called What Have You Done? And if you've never heard that, it might be worth looking up. I'll try to add it to the notes for today's flashback for you, if I remember to do that, as I pre-record this a day in advance. But yeah, we wrote that together, and I ended up writing the last few lines of the last stanza before the final chorus of that, bringing the justice component to it. So we've worked together on and off for a long time. Greg approached me about writing a theme song for the show way back in the early days, so long back that I was still driving a Volkswagen Jetta and recording it in my personal mobile studio. And he's still around, you know. So Greg's been a friend of the show for almost all 17 years that we've been here. He's a really good dude. In this episode, you'll hear him talk about using music to reach people with a message of liberty, which certainly resonates with me. He's got a great, you know, Southern rock country crossover sound. Really good dude. And let's go ahead and flash on back now. What, 13 years? January 11th, 2012, Greg Gals from Revolution Rock and Roll, originally episode 818. On that note, talking about service to our country, the guy we're bringing on right now really is a patriot. His name is Greg Yoes. Again, he and I co-wrote The Revolution Is You, and we co-wrote a song called What Have You Done? And he's got a new song out called 50 Cal. He describes himself as a simple songwriter. He says the hippies in the 60s had their protest bards in the form of Bob Dylan, the Byrds, Janis Joplin, John Lennon, the list goes on. He ain't claiming to have their skill, but he has just as much passion for his cause, and that cause is making sure his kids enjoy freedom from the tyrannical, overtaxing nanny state governments that are currently plaguing our nation. Great guy, great friend. Hey, Greg, welcome to the Survival Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. I understand from a remote location, as they would say today.
That's right, a secret remote location. I think I'm within about five blocks of Alex Jones' secret remote location here in Austin, Texas.
You had to skip out on lunch to be with us today, so I appreciate you getting up and being here today. But for folks that maybe, you know, I guess, you know, people should know you because we collaborated on a couple songs, including The Revolution Is You, that we play every day. But can you tell people just a little bit about yourself, your, you know, kind of your background, how you ended up where you're at today in Austin?
Well, I went to high school in Deep Woods, East Texas, and a music scene just wasn't that great there, and graduated and headed on out to the University of Texas in Austin to get a degree that wouldn't take me away from my primary reason from being there, which was to get in a rock and roll band and go on tour and get famous. so I majored in communications, me and most of the football team, to get out of that. I didn't want to have to do a lot of homework. And it sort of, I did some radio, television, film stuff too as well, and worked at some radio stations. So that's how I got into Austin. And then, pretty quickly after I moved here, started playing in bands and actually realizing my, original dream. Also realizing that, it's not all it's cracked up to be in. And in a lot of cases, it's pretty slimy business all around. And that's changed, I think, over the years, especially with, the technology the way it is. And, you can really bypass a lot of those, hurdles that were just such a pain to deal with, like record labels and, studio engineers and owners and managers and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited on how you're beginning to build out your personal brand and your music. And I want to talk to you about that in just a bit. But I want to kind of start out with, I mean, a lot of people are making music in this genre now because I think there's a lot of interest in the prepper patriot genre. But you're a patriot and you're a prepper, and you've undergone quite a transformation to come into that world. Maybe you could tell people a little bit about how that happened.
Well, I can tell you that Revolution Rock and Roll, the idea hit me while on a run, and I was listening to TSP, and I believe it was one of your early podcasts from the car, and I think you were talking about, finding a niche, finding a business, and then we had talked about it as well, and that, I reserved the domain name, and I started writing some songs that really I think could fit well into that genre because it's what I feel. And of course, the best songs you write, in my opinion, are the ones that you really believe in. And, that's kind of how it started with the brand. And then, I've been slowly writing songs and adding to the catalog, as you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, kind of slowly. But I mean, you've made some other big changes though in your personal life is what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, at the same time, that's when I started really doing my prepping and storing food and beginning to make real plans. And of course, I was really hooked on the threat probability matrix. To me, that made the most sense out of anybody else's plan. Of course, I started with a 3-inch book about, how to prepare for everything, and was extremely overwhelmed. And I think I even called in on an earlier show and asked about, where do I start, at that point I had already taken a big step and didn't even realize it by getting out of debt. And, that's kind of what really got me excited was that I realized that I was already starting down the path and just needed to kind of, start with the most likely scenarios that might occur to me, my family and in our region, and then, spreading out from there. So, started with food, started with gardening, square foot gardening. It's all I had room for in our backyard at the time. And now, I've really gotten into some of the permaculture that you're talking about and talking with folks about that. And actually, one of your listeners, and his name just escapes me right now, but sent me an email. He's a friend of yours that does gardening. And he wants me to write a song about, how gardening is your own form of liberty.
Would it be Jason Akers?
That would be Jason. Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we're going to maybe collaborate on something too. So it's kind of just kind of built on itself, and it's a lot like, once you get the ball rolling, you got to keep with it and be persistent. And, there were some times when I was kind of ready to move on and do something else, but it's been definitely worth my while to stick with it, and hopefully I'll get this record out soon and really be able to start working the marketing machine, get it out there.
Yeah, and you worked hard on your debt so far. What's that meant to you and your family? So I imagine some sacrifice to begin with.
It's been huge. I mean, I went with the Ramsey program, pretty much, Financial Peace University stuff, and while I'm kind of with you, there's a couple of things that I'm not really happy with, specifically not having any kind of credit rating at all. Really kind of came to bite me in the ass when we were buying a new house. But the freedom that you get, you know, the ability to put that cash away every month into an account, and the, you know, not necessarily knowing what to do with it, but just building it up. And then when you do figure out what you need, when you figure out your plans and your preps that you need, you have access to that money, and, you know, and you're not throwing it away to a car payment, or, you know, really right now all I have is my mortgage.
Yeah, there is a hole there with the credit rating to a degree, and there's some ways around it. The problem, I think, is that people get into a mess first, and then it takes them a lot longer to save up that down payment. But I can tell you for a fact, if we would live the way that guy teaches from the beginning versus figuring it out when we're in our 30-somethings, when you walked up to a bank at 26 years old and said, I want to buy a $100,000 house, and they said you had no credit rating, you said, well, I got 30 grand to put down on it. They'll throw money at you.
Exactly.
But we don't end up in those situations because we go on the trap first.
Exactly. Yeah, and what happened to me was that, you know, I hadn't had a credit card in so long that, or any kind of revolving debt, that I think it was a $50 emergency, one of those emergency clinics for my daughter got, you know, something happened, squished her finger in the door or something. And, you'd think I'd remember something like that, but I don't, and I never got a bill for it, and it ended up in collections for $50, and it cost me about, I don't know, a couple of tenths of a percentage point on my mortgage, and
that hurts.
Yeah, it hurts, so, you know, you got to be careful with that, but overall, you know, I think it's definitely worth doing.
I agree. So, hey, man, as all this went on, you did start up Revolution Rock and Roll. And what kind of challenges have you faced, and what do you know now that you wish you'd known back when you started?
Well, it's taken me, I guess, a couple of years now, or a year and a half, to actually figure out a process. And one of the most valuable things that's making my song output, you know, increase, and I got this one that I'm releasing today, and I'm going to have another one hopefully next week, is starting to leverage folks like Matt McCabe, who's another TSP listener, and really is much better at the mixing process than me. You know, it adds tons of time when you're finished with laying down tracks to mix. And, you know, I can send my tracks off to Matt through the internet, and he can mix it down while I'm working on the next tune. And I'm starting to leverage some of these, you know, outsourcing certain things has really is something I want to do more of. I'm obviously you can't outsource the writing of the song, but there's a lot you can outsource.
Yeah, I mean, Gary Vaynerchuk, one of I think both of us are very, very fond of him, says, yeah, the only thing I will not outsource is content creation, and I will outsource anything else I can figure out how to do. But what I think's cool is the circles that are forming within these communities. So now you're working with another listener who's your mixer, and you've got Jason Akers, who I'm good friends with, that you're collaborating on another song with, and this all springs out of this community here. And like just yesterday, we had Darby write in, and he started carrying because a story came in about a guy carrying that defended his family against four thugs, and then he got, you know, basically somebody tried to jack his truck, and he was able to, and there's like millions of these little circles forming within these communities and sub-communities, and I just think it's cool, and I'm really glad it was you that wrote the song for the show, because that you're part of this community.
Oh, it was fun, and you know, I was honored to be able to do that with you, and to me, you know, it's really a lot of fun to co-write and to bounce ideas off and kind of have a finished product. And, you know, I try not to have much of an ego when it comes to that, but, you know, most musicians do. But I love co-writing, and I wish I could do more of it. But right now, the biggest hurdle is just time. And, you know, I'm working a full-time job with two kids at home, and I'm the scout leader, and, you know, I got to go to the range every week.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's just a matter of working in the time. But, you know, I'm learning how to block my time off better, how to schedule tighter. And, you know, I'd love to someday be able to just do this type of work. You know, I've got a couple of internet-based businesses that are really in the early seed stages, like the threadlining.com. For extreme ultralight fishing was another niche that I kind of fell across, and that's kind of building up an audience. So, you know, most of it was inspired, you know, by wanting to be independent, and I got that from TSP pretty much.
Yeah, and I mean, we've talked a lot as you're doing this, and I get people sometimes saying, what do you think of my site? What do you think about what I'm doing? And they want, like, consulting and all. You can tell some of those people they may not want to keep asking because they might get it. I'm not exactly nice sometimes in those situations.
Yeah, no, you're berating me over the years for not finishing songs has really helped motivate me to get in the studio and finish.
But I hope people understand sometimes. I know I come off like that in comments on the blogs and stuff, like, just do it and quit being a dumbass or whatever. And I only do that with people that I love. If I don't care about you, I won't even respond to you. But it's just like I see so much potential in so many people, and I'm like my grandfather, you know. He was, you'd come home and you got second place, and he'd go, "Ah, you should have got first." And if you got first, he'd like, "Well, how much did you win by? That's not enough." I mean, you know, and he was actually happy for you, but he wanted you to push yourself. And man, I've seen that lately, and you've been cranking out some songs. One we got done in time for Veterans Day. I want to play a little bit of that now. And this is one that we worked on together. I feel like we actually collaborated on this more than we did The Revolution Is You. So
yeah.
I'll play a little bit of What Have You Done, and then we'll come back and chat a bit about that.
Okay, great. I got a story about it, too.
Shot heard round the world, called up those British bastards that put me to the sword. Well, I died a lowly subject, the king and monarchy. Yeah, I'm the first American who made this country free. What have you done with my country? What have you done with the founding truth? I gave my life so you could be free. This is how, yeah, this is how you repay me. Well, I hit that beach a running with an M1 in my hand before I got to cover.
So that's about the first verse of the song, and if you want the rest of it, you can go to Revolution Rock and Roll and you can get the song. But that kind of started, Greg. I emailed you one day a long time ago and said, wouldn't it be cool if we did some kind of a story that starts out like the American Revolution and progresses through the wars that the United States has been in up to today? And then you kind of eventually ran with that, and we kind of threw some stuff back and forth, and we ended up with that song. And it's kind of got like a country rock backbeat thing going on. You know, what were you thinking as you were putting that song together, and what's the story you got to tell us?
Well, the story was just that the first email you sent went more like, I was in the pool drinking some beers, and I came up with this idea. So I didn't want to leave that out.
That's all right. That is true. I forgot about it, but you're right. I was sitting back in my pool drinking some beers.
Well,
that's
yeah.
How my mind works. I'm always thinking about stuff. Like
I am too, and that's how it works. And then so, you know, when I think of a topic of a song, you know, I don't really like, I like to use a lot of suggestive alliteration, and I don't like to just go out and write the, you know, verbatim what I'm thinking. You know, you really want your listeners to sort of have to think about it a little bit. And that one turned out like that, you know, when I started putting it together, and the verses really fell together nicely, and you helped me out, I think, immensely with sort of focusing that. We really had like six verses, and the hard part was choosing
what we're going to keep and what we're going to get rid of.
Right. Do we want to go into the Vietnam era? Do we want to go into, you know, do we want to stay?
Do we want an 8.5-minute song that no one's listening to the whole thing? Or yeah.
Well, yeah, that was my response back to you in most cases was, hey, you got to have a bridge here. You got to break it up.
And, yeah.
You know, but that's, a lot of songwriters, especially new songwriters, they'll come up with a great idea, and each verse will be so great that they end up, you know, putting them all in. Yeah,
yeah.
And you have a really long song. I see a lot of that at coffee shops and stuff.
The big thing I wanted was to have something at the end that had a sense of justice, because you were real clear that you didn't want to make that song about like another sappy ballot taking advantage of the troops. You wanted to be honest at the disgust that some of them today have and some of them from the past definitely would have. But I also wanted like some closure at the end, that there was some thing, and that's where the meet your maker part came in. And I just thought like we needed something to tell people there's a reason to keep pushing on.
Right. And, you know, I think Toby Keith has all the flag waving songs covered pretty good. You know, I wanted folks, and I think we wanted folks to think a little bit more about, and to me it really affected me, because I think about if we start to lose these liberties that they fought for, I mean, really, what did they die for? And we're going to have to answer to them if you believe the way I believe.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm not a mainstream religious guy. I have my own Spirko-ish form of spirituality, but I believe that that if there's justice in the universe, that there's a reckoning for everybody. And even if that reckoning's for yourself, eternity is a long time to live with it, with yourself. And I believe that that's there. And I also believe that those folks that laid down their lives for us are still at least somewhat aware of what we're doing. And hopefully the other side, you're not that attached to this side anymore, but I believe there's an awareness there. And some of the disgust, your people aren't free. Mm-hmm. Take the printed money and buy a big TV. I just thought, I mean, you were hitting like home run after home run in that song. And I'm thinking that's exactly like a guy that grew up with a dirt floor is going, this is what you're concerned about, 140 versus 130 channels and a 52 versus a 50-inch plasma, you're both purchasing with money you do not have?
Exactly. That was kind of a shot at the credit problems that we're seeing individually and with the governments of the world. It's just ridiculous.
Absolutely. And, I mean, because I wanted to bring something in with the Revolutionary War, definitely. But the thing that I thought was so awesome, because I always think of it as, you know, we had this revolution that we basically declared our independence and we said we're the United States versus, or actually these states united as they termed it back then, versus colonies. But the war started before that happened.
Right.
And the first guy to die for this country died before it was a country. You know, Massachusetts is my country, sir, that type of thing. And you know, what kind of led you there? Is it just like, have you been involved with Appleseed, or because it was really hitting hard that you took it back that far?
Yeah, I think I definitely have been getting involved with Appleseed, especially with a 9-year-old, you know, trying to get him out shooting, and that did have a lot to do with it. But yeah, it to me the whole thing starts with the Revolutionary War and what those guys originally fought for, which was, you know, the freedom to pursue those the happiness that they deserved and the freedom of religion and speech and all the things that we have now or had.
Correct.
So
well, and I mean, that's the other thing, right? So like, we think today when we send guys off to fight a war, whether, and we can get into the politics, but there's just no point, because to me there's places where conflict is justified and places where somebody wants something and our guys get used. But that doesn't matter. When the guys are, and we'll kind of get into that when we talk about your song you're releasing today, but the bigger issue is that those guys back then weren't fighting to preserve a freedom. They were fighting for something we can't even conceive of today, to establish a freedom.
Yeah, exactly. That is a huge difference. They had never had it before, and I can't imagine what was going through their heads. I mean, it had to be exciting at the same time. It was probably scary as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it was something that was worth dying. Of course, Braveheart came on the other night, and it kind of took me back to the same place.
Yeah. I watched it too, man. It was on like one, like somewhere in the 120 channel brackets on Dish Network. I don't remember.
Yeah.
It was Bravo or something like that.
Exactly. And, you know, that kind of brought to mind the Revolutionary War, and I think there's a lot of parallels there. And those guys, especially when they're sitting on the hill, you know, and here comes the British Army, and they're going, well, you know, maybe this persecution thing isn't as bad as we really thought, you know. But, you know, in the Revolutionary War, they decided, you know, it is. It's going to be worth it. And it's really sad if we've lost that same spirit. And I think a lot of people in this country have, frankly.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to think back to these were farm boys. You know, these were people that worked in a mill. These were people that were apprentices to a silversmith. I mean, that were not trained soldiers, and they were standing against the most powerful army in the world. In today's world, it would be like a bunch of, bootblacks or something standing up against the United States military.
That's exactly.
The armament level's different, but the training level and the professionalism and the resources, it's the exact same scenario.
Yep. And sometimes I'm surprised that it doesn't happen to us more often, of course.
Yeah.
You know, there are some situations where you could argue that we did lose to a much smaller army.
Sure. Here's what I don't think people get. A lot of these places that we go into to fight, their idol is Washington.
Right.
They look at George Washington and say, the thing I remember that this young guy that worked with me one time at a company, and it was very encouraging to see how smart this kid was, because he was like 21 years old, and this was only a few years ago. And he said, we're talking about, why we won the Revolutionary War. And I said, well, why do you think we won? He said, because we ran away. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. And I actually asked him to explain it, and he actually understood what he was saying, that we wore them out by running away, dragging them through swamps, and not engaging directly. And that's exactly the type of warfare that's fought against us today.
Yeah, I know. It seems like over the years we would have learned that that type of warfare tends to work better through the centuries. I don't know why we keep shipping tank after tank, except for that they're getting there's somebody getting paid to build them.
Absolutely. So that's a great segue into your song you're releasing today called 50 Cal.
Yeah.
So let's pause for a second and listen to maybe 30, 40 seconds of that, and people can get the whole song if they want to after they listen to this episode.
Okay.
Gotta look out for unsavory men. I've got a laser and I've got a helmet. I've got a duty to take my revenge. 42 nights ago I saw him coming, chasing my sergeant with a beat up AK. Sarge turned around, but before he could cry out, he passed from this world in a 30 cal spray. I won't lie, I want that bastard dead. I've got my M16, my butter and my bread. I want to put a bigger hole in his head. Let's use the 50 caliber.
So that's a real change of beat and tone. I'm talking about just the music at this point. It's a much slower, softer song. It's very, very different from the other things you've done. What made you take just like that tempo with it?
That's one of those songs, and I think a lot of the songs that I write, they just hit you all at once. I don't know if it's like a show idea or a book that you have, an idea just hits you, but with songwriting, a lot of times, you sit down, and I'm trying to be more regimented about my songwriting and do it during certain times. And, some of the greatest songwriters kind of do it that way. And this is one of those where I was just sitting there and had no idea what I was going to play. And that just came out in like half an hour. And it wasn't, I don't normally write or sing that kind of dark type of song. And frankly, it's not one that I expect to win over a whole lot of crowds. I played it for a couple of, they're definitely more liberal, buddies of mine here in Austin. And, they're kind of the jam band type of guys. They really like to go and just get stoned and dance around at stupid shows. And I think their comment was, that's the worst song I've ever heard.
Wow.
So I took that as a compliment.
I would. I would.
Because here's the deal. When you're writing a song, right, you either want to, and just like a podcast, I want people to either love it or hate it.
Correct.
You know, really hate that. Eh, it's okay. You know, that's the last thing I want to hear. So I thought that was a good sign.
Now, but, I'll tell you myself, I listen to that song and I think I'm probably not going to drive down the road in my big F-350 with that blaring, cruising down the country roads. I look at that and I almost go, that's almost a song that's played among brothers that actually get it and understand.
Mm-hmm.
That's a song that I think after about six beers and a nice cigar and a glass of rum sitting on a back deck with a buddy that served along my side that I would listen to. And at that point, it would have a completely different, like I see that as a song where you're talking and then it comes on and everybody just shuts up and listens. Yeah. If you get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, every song has its place and, you know, I try not to listen to a TSP, you know, while I'm in bed with my wife, so.
Sure. Talk about a mood killer. You know what would be worse is 5 minutes with Jack. It'd be like trying to get busy while a drill sergeant was screaming at you.
That wouldn't work.
You're doing it wrong!
But that was a great idea. I hope you continue those.
I'm cranking them out now. But, like, the other side of that is, I think a lot of people that are of the political pacifist mode or even the libertarian mode would say this is like a song that's a flag waving song, you know, get the bastard type song. But you're not really in love with a lot of the decisions that are being made with our military. This isn't like a blind patriotism song. This is a song that really touches, because why is this guy in pursuit of his enemy? Because he wants to wave the flag over his body when he's dead? Or he wants to come home with a medal? No, the guy killed his brother, his sergeant.
Yeah.
And when you're in that crap, I don't care why you were sent there, it comes down to, it's about nobody but the guy next to you.
Exactly. And and I've gotten some feedback from another listener, a TSP listener, when I sent the video out. And he liked the song, but he said, you know, in a real team situation, and I think he was probably either in the Marines or Special Forces, and you know, he said, well, the song is not quite accurate because you're not gonna, you know, get to go claim revenge on somebody because everything is about the mission, and I totally get that.
Sure.
But the point I'm trying to make with this tune, I guess, is that it's sort of more of the horrors of war.
Sure.
And the stuff that this guy has to do that really, you know, he would never even think about doing probably, except for that once you're in that theater, he's kind of lost it a little bit. And I'm not so sure it's not about somebody who is going rogue.
Yeah.
Perhaps AWOL to get revenge, and I don't know that doesn't actually happen.
It probably does, and here's what I love about a great song can have multiple meanings, so I can also look at that and see it as the depersonalization that happens in warfare. So maybe I'm a sniper, maybe my sergeant was killed last week, maybe I'm going to blow the shit out of somebody with a 50 cal, and I'm in that state that you're talking about, and maybe the guy that I'm looking out there and using some derogatory term to describe isn't the actual person who did it.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind, in that moment, that's my action, that's my revenge, that they're all the same.
Right.
And I think that's a very dangerous thing that we start to think that way, and that's what the media wants us to do, but it's the reality of combat and a reality of war.
Yeah, and I hear it from soldiers coming back. Obviously, I have a number of friends that have served overseas recently, and it is just, it's a nightmare, and some of them have come back wondering, you know, what the point was, and you know, it's when you're over there in the shit, then you know you might not know what the point is, and honestly I still don't know what the point is in some of these wars that we're supposed to be, you know, getting out of.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a point, you should be able to tell me what I'm supposed to. See, that's how I always felt as a soldier. That's what I liked about being a soldier, is that you never had a job or a task. You had a mission, and a mission had a completion objective, and when it was done, it was done.
Right.
And you might have to kill yourself to get it done, literally, right, or figuratively, yep, depending on the situation. But you knew what the objective was, and I don't feel that this country has fought a war with a clear objective since World War II.
I agree.
World War II was Tokyo and Berlin, baby. That's the objective.
That's it, the eagle's nest.
And when we do that, then we'll you know, help with reconstruction, and we'll let these countries take care of themselves, and they either float or they sink.
Yep.
And everything that we've done since then, we really haven't done it as a declared. I guess the first Gulf War technically was a declared war, but I mean, I was part of that, and to me, it didn't make any sense. So this guy's this big a threat. We come over here and we kill. I don't think anybody understands how many Iraqi soldiers and citizens were killed in the first Gulf War, because it was clean for us on our end, so we didn't care. And we were over there for a few months, and we came back, and everybody cheered, and then everybody forgot, but nothing changed.
Right, right. And this all ties back into survival and trying to keep our, you know, looking at the threat probability matrix, looking at our country as one of those outer rings. You know, I see a lot of these of this foreign intervention that we've engaged in as a threat to that level. And as you know, once you get to those outer rings, it starts to get really scary.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I'm not anti-war, but this, some of these situations that we're in over there, some of these missions, I really don't get at all. But again, it does have multiple meanings like that. And I think one of the interesting, lines I think that brings it home is, you know, when he actually finds his target and he realizes that guy has a family. But so does his sergeant.
And, yeah.
He's gotta take care of it. So, you know, it's kind of a tough song.
Yeah, it is, but I like it. I want to ask you a question on those regards, because I think you and I think very, very similar. I think we're both very, very staunchly supportive of the troops. Absolutely. But very, very questioning in some of the things that they're asked to do. Mm-hmm. One of the statements by the mainstream, especially the mainstream right, that has absolutely made me want to have blood shoot from my eyes, is you cannot support the troops if you don't support their mission. And I find that, I want to hear what you think, I find that to be the most ridiculous pile of bullshit I've ever heard, because what you're actually saying is, I can't support the troops unless I support the clowns that told them to go.
Exactly, exactly. It's like, you know, not supporting the car or the tires because the driver is bad. You know, it's the guys up top, and really what really gets me is the amount of money, just the billions of dollars that are being made by some of these corporations that are providing all of the wartime necessities and you know, everything down to Keebler. I got another case of MREs the other day, and you know, there's a Hershey bar and there's M&M's package, and, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, but the there's a lot of these MREs out there, and in fact, they're living on them now, I think, as they're clearing out Iraq, the
Absolutely.
Ones that are still over there. And, you know, they all have name brand stuff in them. And I just got to wonder.
And you know what? I can tell you, as someone who served back in the early 90s, it wasn't that way then. There were 12 MREs and two of them you really didn't want, the ham slice and the omelet with ham, the bad ones. And there was no M&Ms in there or Hershey bars. The only thing in there with a name brand on it was Tabasco.
Something. Tabasco, yeah. Yeah, which was probably the best deal they ever made.
Well, they knew that if you gave somebody that, you could make anything edible.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's why they gave it to you. And you learned tricks, too. You remember the beef stew. And the beef stew would make you have heartburn. If you had the greatest constitutional, it was going to give you heartburn. But if you broke up those Chinese star crackers, you know, those crackers are like throwing a Chinese star when you threw them to the kids.
Yeah.
But if you took some of those crackers and bragged them up and stuck them in there, they sucked up whatever was in that stew, and it kept you from getting heartburn. And today, I guess it's more of a commercial enterprise.
Oh, yeah.
Hershey's and Mars and M&M's and...
Yeah, and I, you know, who knows? And that's just one example.
And don't you wonder, Greg, what the hell they're making that stuff out of that it meets the shelf life requirements?
I wondered that when I first opened it. I got these were APAX, I guess, that I got. I was real surprised that was in there. And I can't imagine that surviving the desert. Of course, I stripped mine out. And
sure.
I'm wondering if the soldiers do the same thing, they just eat the candy and then put the stripped versions in their packs to get out when they go out.
And the candy can only work in the rear because just the heat alone is going to melt it. It's
exactly.
Not edible. You probably give it to kids. Kids don't care if the chocolate's melted. We learned that.
Yeah.
it was in Honduras, you'd go to give away like what they always wanted was the chocolate, and what they wanted was the cocoa mix, you know?
Oh yeah.
We'd save up 20 or 30 of them in a bag so it wasn't one kid getting it. And if you were out in a Humvee and you started handing them out, those kids would like press you, you know, you get your leg would be pinned against it, flipping out. And to me, that's some reason that I've always like, that's part of what drove me back to my roots in my own walk was seeing a place where it was that big a deal to get a flipping envelope of Swiss Miss cocoa. Mm-hmm. That's basically what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's foil wrapped, vacuum sealed cocoa powder. It's the same crap you could go down and buy a box for what, $1.50 or something for.
Oh yeah.
And those kids would beat each other to death for it.
I know it. It's crazy. I've seen them do that on TV when the soldiers are walking through the little towns over there and just the poverty and you know that it just seems like you know our money could go for better better things, but you know at the same time I think we should have a strong military. I'm a little concerned about what's going on with Obama's new plan here with stripping everything down. I haven't seen the details of it yet.
I don't know the title or anything yet, but I got an idea for another song for you. Maybe we need a song about the stuff our military does that is exactly like that. You know, I was part of Fortis Caminos back in the 90s, which was Strong Roads.
Mm-hmm.
And we built 12 miles of road in the middle of there was no one else in the world other than the United States Army Engineer Corps that could have built that road.
Exactly.
No one else in the world could have possibly done that. And we finished that road in 4 months. It was supposed to take 6. And I don't think anybody else could have done that. And the commander said, man, we can all go home early, but we're already here. We're already deployed. We already have all the budget and everything. We can stay here and build schools. And it was one of the very few times in my military career where I saw anything put to a democracy vote. That just doesn't happen in the country. But they basically said, you know, a yay or nay, and the yays had it, and we stayed another 2 months. And I'm thinking, you know, we get all these bashing of our soldiers for doing what soldiers do in time of war, but we never hear about that.
That is a great story, and I think that would definitely make a good song.
Don't ask me how to do it. I don't have any leader lines for you now.
No, my brain's already working on it.
You know, maybe we can make a video. I could get some of the still photos that I have from back in that time and scan them in, and I bet other people would be willing to contribute, because I know there's a lot of guys out there that served, and we feel like, you know, our missions that we did all around the world seem more like being in the Peace Corps than being in the military.
Yeah, and every one of our soldiers makes the best of what they've been assigned to do, or the best of the mission that they can. I think as a human being first, and that's what I've seen. And
I agree.
So, whether you agree with them being there or not, you know, I think they're making the best of it. And thank God it's us and not somebody else.
Let me stay real clear why I'm so supportive of our guys, even when they're sent into something that I'd prefer they not go do. If we ever get to like the Clone Wars, you know, like the droid bots or whatever, if you think that the military commits abuses today, if you let those clowns in Washington control robots where they'll do exactly what they're told and there's no judgment on the ground, you will see atrocities.
Yep.
That would make what the Nazis did look like a day at Disneyland.
Yep. Yep.
And it's those guys there, in spite of the situation they're put in, that actually keep a lid on things. And when I hear people say, like, you shouldn't let any good, upstanding young man or woman join the military, I think, well, that's great. We'll just be left with automatons that will do whatever the hell they're told, can't think for themselves.
Right. Yeah. I thank God every day that, you know, I have some buddies from high school, went Air Force Academy and military, their career, and, man, I'm glad they're in there. And I know they're doing their job, and I know they're good people, and you know, if we're going to be in these situations, you know, at least we need to have the best.
Yeah, it's amazing how they change you too. My neighbor up the hill from me, her son just went off to Air Force Basic, and that's 8 weeks long, and they just went down to San Antonio to see him graduate, and she said there's a man standing where a boy was 8 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And she said, I don't think there's any other way in the world that could have happened.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've heard that line, and I've heard from other parents when they hear it that it really got them, really choked them up.
So, hey, as we're getting ready to wrap up here, because I know you got to get back to the grind, you just finished something that I'm about to finish. I think I'm about to be 40 in August. You polished off your 30s, right? Big moment, right? So what would you tell younger members of our audience about how they should approach life, business, finance, prepping? What would you have done differently?
I would have done a lot differently. But, you know, you can't go back and you got to keep looking forward. But, you know, I think the first thing I would do is not ever get into debt. Forget the student loans. Forget, you know, thinking that you have to go to college right away. You know, go out and get some experience and keep yourself educated that way. You know, that's the biggest thing for me because I feel like I could be 20 years ahead of where I am now financially. I could be almost retired now, if I had really taken care of my money and really not fallen into some of the traps, that just seemed so logical at the time. Especially student loans. That was a big one for me. And then, you know, credit cards and that kind of thing. Just ridiculous. And I think I'll tell you, I'm seeing a lot of younger folks, you know, here in Austin, we have a huge university. Lots of Ron Paul signs, lots of kids that are awake.
Waking up, yeah.
And I'm really liking that a lot. I see them in front of the Capitol. You know, I've played a few shows, kind of rallies down there, and I'm really liking what I'm seeing. So I hope they keep it up and they get the actual spirit of what we're talking about. And, you know, we're not the old granddaddies yet, but,
yeah,
you know, hopefully we're at the age where we can at least give them some good advice. And that would be my first advice. And second advice would be get a bug out bag and get your kits and, you know, do what you can, to get some food, and look at it as insurance and start small and work up because, I had to kind of, When I sort of woke up to all this, I felt way behind and really had a lot of anxiety for a number of years until I felt like I had enough, an adequate amount of preps put back. And right now I'm stressing over the skills.
Sure.
You know, so, you know, I would really encourage them to learn the skills, as much as the prepping. I know Austin has a skills meetup. It's pretty cool. You know, so without ties like family and kids, you can get out and do a lot more of that kind of stuff.
And you get more years of your life to practice them. There's a difference between learning a skill at 40 and having learned a skill at 20 and practice it till you're 40. You pretty much mastered it at that point.
Exactly, exactly.
And I think there's something to say about it. Also, just when you're talking about these kids, you know, it makes me think about how future-looking some songwriters are. I think back in 1982, one of my favorite songs of all time growing up in eastern Pennsylvania was Allentown by Billy Joel.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What we saw there was in our region, what's happening in our region then is now happening in the country. And the line that you made me think of is, so their graduations hang on the wall. They never really helped us at all. They never taught us what was real, iron and coke, chromium steel. And you listen to that and you think, there's Occupy Wall Street. These kids did what they were asked to do. They worked hard. They behaved. They got good grades. I mean, it's almost like that song from 82 absolutely applies to 2012. It's just not the Rust Belt of Pennsylvania anymore and the expired coal fields. That was from strip mining. Strip mining ruined Pennsylvania, and a strip mining mentality in heavy industry ruined Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And today it's a strip mining mentality in the financial sector that did the same thing to the whole damn country.
That's right. That's right. And I think, I guess one more piece of advice, you just kind of, a little light bulb went off, is to really, and I'm urging my kid, my older kid, to do this, is really try to figure out a way to become independent and not reliant on a job. And that's actually where I am right now. I'm really trying to get away from reporting to someone and having my paycheck be dependent, even though it's a fairly secure job, in quotes. You know, I really want to go for, and I think every young person should, you know, take that youth and take that risk and go out and do something that you really want to do and leverage that youth. And you know, if you don't care about eating ramen a couple nights a week or every night, you know, for a year, it's better than, you know, you see your buddies driving around in BMWs or whatever at their first job. But, in 10 years, you're the one who's going to have the experience to know how to keep a payroll and how to actually run a business.
And man, we're going to need you in the future. Somebody's going to have to rebuild this mess, and it's going to be entrepreneurs, not government.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I look at my neighbors, some guys live next door to me, and neither one of them have college degrees, and they're just as redneck as you can get, and I love them to death. But, you know, they started out with a pressure washer, washing cars after high school, and now they have a company with 50 guys that washes every single vehicle on every new car lot between Waco and San Antonio.
Wow.
And they just, you know, I think they're off in their RV right now. You know,
I know a guy that did something similar with pressure washing. He started out washing people's driveways.
Yep.
And he's got about 15 people running around now. He has them completely outfitted with their own trailers, and he said his business is doing just as well as it ever was. He's actually said that today he's doing more driveways in middle-class neighborhoods than upper-class neighborhoods.
Well,
because
you know,
it's so affordable, but the middle-class people can't afford a machine.
Exactly.
So that helps much to have it done. And what they do is, he said, once we do one driveway, right, the mm-hmm. neighbor comes out and looks at that driveway, and it's bright white. Everybody else is dingy. And, like, you know, and I think he's doing, like, he does this driveway for, like, $40. And just the driveway, the sidewalk, the curbs, the whole thing. And once, like, two or three of them are done, then you're sticking out. And, like, they'll get a whole cul-de-sac, you know, and they'll spend one day there, and they'll put down $600.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I did read, you had him on your show, The Millionaire Fast Lane.
Oh, MJ DeMarco.
Yeah, MJ. I did read his book, and it's pretty good too for young people to kind of get
more
some ideas and
tech sector side of things. You know, the high tech side.
It's a little bit more, yeah. But you know, I tell you, one of the fastest growing companies here in Austin is Dog Duty.
Oh yeah. Nobody wants to pick up the dog crap anymore.
Nobody wants to pick up the dog crap anymore. I see the trucks all over town. I mean,
unbelievable.
You know, in this recession, or you know, whatever
yeah.
kind of economy we're in. So,
imagine
yeah.
what happens when we get a recovery. No one will pick up a dog turd ever. You know, folks, don't pay someone to pick up your dog turds. You can put a doggy septic tank in for like about $200.
Yeah, throw it in your compost pile.
Yeah, that's pretty rank stuff to compost. Anyway, yeah. Greg, I want to let you get back to the grind so you can grind it out and get back to doing what you love, which is making music. You want to tell folks how they can get the songs that we heard today and more?
Yeah, right now all these songs are free. What I'm doing is I'm putting them up on the website revolutionrockandroll.com, and I'm also rolling them out for digital distribution on iTunes. That may come a little bit later. Usually it takes a couple of weeks to get them out on iTunes, and I think on iTunes they're actually 99 cents. But what I'm doing is, if you like the songs, if you get more than two or three of them and you listen to them, just asking that you consider buying the album, which is the same thing, only it comes with all the songs. And what I'm going to be doing is incrementing the price of the album as I add songs to the catalog, and when I get about 8 or 9 songs up there, the album is going to be the primary way that you're going to get the music. So, you know, but right now I just want to get them out there. I want to get them played. I'm not interested in making a ton of money off these tunes. Exactly. And I tell you, I'm still donating 10% of the of what I bring home, any kind of net profit, to various organizations. Lately I've been giving it to the Gun Owners of America and NRA. So, but you know, it's gone. I've sent some money to Ron Paul and to some other candidates that, you know, try to do it nationally, something that's going to affect everybody. And I'm, you know, so that, because folks are downloading the songs and
from all
buying,
over.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So, and I take suggestions. There's a form on the site too, right? You know,
well, real quick, as we wrap up, I think the donation to Ron Paul is important. I had a guy ask me the other day. He said, "You said you've written several checks to Ron Paul's campaign. He's the only politician you've ever backed, and you don't believe he can win. So why are you backing him? Because I think his message is more important than whether he wins or loses. And I think if I look at it today compared to where we were 5 years ago, there's a hell of a lot more awareness, and I think it's all due to his campaign."
I agree. There's nothing wrong with it, and I'm not even so sure he can't win.
I'm not so sure anymore. I'm almost afraid. You know, like when you're a little kid and you have that crush on that girl and you want to ask her out or whatever, and you bring yourself to it because you'd rather have it be a belief than have it dashed in the rocks. That's where I'm at. I don't want to fully believe in the possibility yet.
Yep.
Because
yep.
it's such a great dream. Anyway, you mentioned another site you have. You want to give it a plug as well? You've got a forum there on ultralight fishing.
Yeah, I started, I love fishing. We've talked about fishing a lot, and, and I like all sorts of fishing, and I do all sorts of fishing. But there's a guy here in town who sort of invented this. It's extreme ultralight fishing, and he actually takes a. He has a book. His name's Joe Robinson, and he takes fly rod blanks, 1 and 2 weight fly rod blanks, and these old reels, and builds these amazing rods. And this guy's just he's just a wizard, and I'm lucky enough to get to know him, and I've dedicated this website to him to thread lining this style of fishing. And so if you like ultralight fishing or really any kind of fly fishing or ultralight spin cast fishing, you know, it's a really cool, there's a lot of cool information. It's a whole different way of doing it if you're kind of getting bored, you know.
Yeah, when you told me about it, I ran over there. I was all happy to tell my story about catching 12-pound snook on 4-pound line with a light-action rod, and I realized I was completely out of my league. These guys are throwing quarter-pound weight line, and
yeah,
it's amazing some of the things you can do with those rods. So that's a great forum. If you guys want to learn more about that, please check it out. I'll have links to both of Greg's websites today in the show notes. Hey, Greg, thanks for being here. This is one of the more fun interviews I've ever done.
Well, I appreciate it, Jack. I was hoping it would be. I thought it might be a little different when I went and filled out your form.
Well, you kept emailing me. How do I get on the show? Fill out the form, dummy. That's how everybody gets on the show.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't have, you know, a specific expertise in the survival area, but I have been a big participant and a longtime listener, and have undergone a transformation, I think. And, you know, I really owe a lot of it to you and to the podcast and the members of TSP. They've been great, and I get a lot of great feedback from them, and I still kind of look at TSP as sort of my core family of folks that I like to run my tunes by first, and if I don't get a thumbs up from them, then it really probably doesn't go out.
Well, cool, man. Thank you again for being here, and I think that we need probably to do more interviews with folks just like you. I don't look for people to be experts. I look for people that are living the life and
yeah,
experience the transformation. I think the audience really enjoys hearing that as well. So, again, thanks for being here with us today.
You got it.
All right, folks, with that, it's been Jack Spirico along with Greg Yowes helping you figure out how to live that better life if times get tough or even if they don't. Well, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Survival Podcast Friday Flashbacks. If you enjoyed today's show, please consider becoming an MSV member. Just go to thesurvivalpodcast.com and click on members to learn more. You can also support our show by going to TSPAZ, that's T-S-P-A-Z, TSPAZ.com. Anytime you shop online, and while you'll support us no matter what you buy, you will find over 500 reviews of items I have personally tested and vouch for. And to stay in touch with us and never miss anything, follow our channel or our group on Telegram. You can find links to that and all our social media options. Just go to thesurvivalpodcast.com and check the show notes for any episode.